angels can believe. My Jesus cared so much for me. He took my place at Calvary. Christ Jesus lives, he lives today. From sin and death he set me free. Now and in end, each place I go, my Jesus Christ, he walks with me. And when I ask, how could it be that Jesus cares so much for me? The answer comes so tenderly. He took my place at Calvary. Now I'm a child of royalty, and even angels can believe. My Jesus cared so much for me. He took my place at Calvary. And now my Lord, the Son of God, I share with everyone I see. I give my best, my all to him, because he gives so much to me. Now if his own you'll wanna be, come join his royal family, and let your heart sing joyfully. He took my place at Calvary. Now I'm a child of royalty, and even angels can believe. My Jesus cared so much for me. He took my place at Calvary.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's wonderful. And that's really what I want to share with you for a few moments tonight on this Good Friday, is a little three words. He took your place. He took your place. It's something if someone would take your place. And I'm going to look at a few verses in the Bible and a story, a couple of stories actually, to bear this out. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says this, who himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, by his blows, you were healed. He took your place. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just, him being the just, the unjust, that being you and I. What? For what purpose? What did he do it for? That he might bring us to God. This was God's plan. God loves people. The last thing God wants to do is see people thrown into hell. You know, the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not his desire for people to be lost. It's his desire for us to be saved. But our sin is what's got us in trouble. It's like the consequences. It's like you reap what you sow. If you do something here, it's going to have an effect over here. And so God has to punish sin. If he doesn't punish sin, he wouldn't be just. He'd have to stop being God, and he can't. So what does he look at? The whole human race, he looks at every one of us. He sees our sin, and his sadness, he looks at us, and he says, I have to punish them. I have to do it or I won't be just, and I cannot be unjust or I could never be God. So he looks at his world, he looks at the brokenness, and in his sorrow as he looks at our sin and the judgment that comes as a result of it, what can he do about it? The punishment has to go. It has to be done. But then, of course, God had a plan all along, and that was that he would send his only son. And so Jesus, who is in heaven with the Father, he says to him, you must go. And the son says, of course I must go, because it was planned by God. I will go, and I will go to the cross, and I will take all the suffering for sin. I will take the punishment. I will receive the punishment in the place of guilty sinners. I will become the guilty one, so they will become innocent. I will become unrighteous, so they can become righteous. Look what it says in this verse. For he, that is God, made him, the Son, Jesus, who knew no sin, who was perfectly righteous in every way, 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'll do a trade-off. Jesus, I'll take their place. I'll do it instead. Story is told of a little boy who was in school, a boy that was very impoverished, a boy that had nothing. And another boy had all kinds of food. And one day, this little boy who had nothing. This is years ago, whenever, you know, they used to take the strap out and give it to you. And believe me, I got that a few times. Can't say it straightened me out, but anyway, the little fella, the rules were, anybody caught stealing, they got so many straps. And this little boy, all emaciated from hunger, he saw the other fella's lunch basket, and he went over, when nobody was looking, and he took some because he was hungry. And it was discovered. And the teacher stands there and he says, I've set the rules. I have to be fair. And the little fella comes up all skin and bone and trembling, and he's about to get the strap. And then a guy named Big Jim, who's in the class, stands up and he says, teacher, would it be okay if I took the blows for him? Would it be all right if I stood there and I took those blows? And the teacher said, yes, yes, the punishment's given out. And if you take it for him, then he can go free. And so that's what Jim did. He went up and he took the blows in his place. Well, friends, we're the ones. And we don't even have the excuse to say, well, you know, I was so hungry, I couldn't help myself. Our sin is busting out of us. We're the ones who have come short of the glory of God, the ones who have failed miserably, the ones, we have this bent in us, eh? Maybe you felt that a few times, to go in the wrong direction. Have you ever resolved you're going to change your ways? From now on, you're going to go this way? You know how long that lasts? Not very long. Do you know why that is? It's because we have this sinful nature that wants to go in the wrong direction. We inherited from Adam and Eve, who chose to turn against God, and the whole human race fell, and we fell with them. And the result of that is that sin lies at the door in our lives, and it's constantly there. And to fight off sin is a battle that nobody seems to be able to win, not for very long. But God sent his son Jesus Christ to win the battle for us. He came to be our substitute, to take our place. And what's amazing is God made sure that there was a picture of that when Jesus Christ was about to be crucified. Here's what he did. You see, Matthew 27:15, crucifixion was not something that only happened once in a while. Many people were being put to death, crucified. It wasn't uncommon for at times in the Roman Empire to see 20, 30 people being crucified. It was the most cruel form of death that has ever been devised by man, because of its nature, because of the fact that when they are on that cross, nails holding their hands, nails holding their feet, and when they're in that situation, the weakness and the loss of blood, they begin to sag, and as they sag, they begin to strangle. And in order to stop strangling, they have to push themselves up, pull themselves up by those nails. And so it is a very, very painful experience. And it can last for almost a couple of days. People can last in crucifixion. And so this is where the cruelest form of punishment that was known to man was what Jesus went to go to do. He could have stopped them. He could have called a legion of angels and said, this is enough. You rotten bunch of people, you're going to crucify the most perfect one, the most just one, the one who has come to heal, the one who's come to do good and not evil, the one who went about doing good, the Bible says. He could have said, that's enough, I've had enough. As a matter of fact, when he was being crucified, while he was hanging on the cross, it tells us very clearly that the religious rulers, and yes, it was the religious people, that were against Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And you know, even today, sometimes religion can be the biggest enemy of the cross and of true Christianity. Religion likes ceremony and pomp and money and prestige and power. But the gospel's not about any of those things. The gospel is about peace and joy and love and forgiveness and caring for one another. And so those ones who had power when Jesus came along, they didn't like him and they wanted him crucified. All of the religious rulers in general, were against him. Some of them saw who he really was. So what did they do? They were standing before Jesus down when he was on that cross, and they were saying to him, if you're the Son of God, come on down off that cross, and then we'll believe in you. He saved others. Himself he cannot save, they said. And what they said was true, even though they didn't even understand nor believe it. He saved others through his death on the cross, but he could not save himself. If he had come down off that cross, if he had blasted them with a bolt of lightning and said, get out of here, you bunch of scoundrels. If he had done all of those things, there would have been never salvation for you tonight. You would spend eternity in hell and you would deserve it. But what did Jesus do? He stayed on the cross. He took the full wrath, the full anger of God for sin, he took on himself. That's why we sang earlier, wrath and mercy met at the cross. So though judgment deserves to fall on us, God looks upon this broken world and he says, I will send my Son, and Jesus comes. And so the love of God meets the justice of God. And if you're under the love of God, you go free. Is the love of God for you tonight? It absolutely is. But you need to make that choice. You need to be willing to say, okay, Jesus, that's where I'm coming. I'm going under your love. I'm trusting in you. So what happens before Jesus was actually crucified in Matthew 27:15? Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. There was a custom that had developed at the time of the Passover, the feast of the Passover. Once a year, they would say, the governor, that is the Roman governor, would say to the Jews, I'll let one prisoner go. It'll be one act of kindness that I'll give to you people. I'll let one prisoner go. So at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. He was a scoundrel, a murderer. So when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, now Pilate was caught in a jam. His wife had sent a note saying, I had a dream about this man. You better let him go. But the people began to shout, if you let him go, we're going to tell Caesar on you, because he said he was a king and only Caesar can be king. And so Pilate was caught because he wanted to hold himself in a good political position. He didn't want to get to get the crowd against him enough that they would report him to Caesar. And if Caesar, you fell out of favor with Caesar, you were done for. So Pilate thought up this plan. He said, I'm going to take the worst character in the prisons here, this Barabbas, this terrible character, and I'm going to put him up in front of all the people, and they know what he's like. They know the kind of scoundrel and murderer that he is. And I'm going to present Jesus before them. And you know, Jesus, he never murdered anybody. He was going about preaching and doing good, and miracles were being done by him, and he was loving people, and he was telling them, he wasn't inciting them to riot nor war. He was doing the exact opposite. He was telling them, if somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. So he says, I'll put Jesus up there, and I'll put Barabbas up there, and surely they'll choose Jesus. So when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? And there were the crowds in front. Just earlier, a week earlier, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, multitudes were saying, praise, Hosanna, they were giving glory to Jesus. But now, with the multitudes gathered there, it says, for he knew, Pilate knew, they had handed him over because of envy. Pilate knew what their motives were. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of this blood of this just person. What did he call him? A just person. He knew. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So even here, at this time, before the crucifixion of Jesus, and it's amazing, you can see the great detail in which all of this was recorded. And not recorded just by one person, but by different people. And if just as a little side note, if the four Gospels that record the life of Jesus Christ were entered into a court of English law, they would be recognized as valid testimony even today. A man named Simon Greenleaf spent a lot of time, and he was one of the authors of English Law, and he spent a huge amount of time taking the four Gospels, and he did it because he was an unbeliever, and he wanted to show that these four Gospels that were written so many years ago would not stand up in court. And when he got done, he was converted to Jesus Christ because he saw that this was valid testimony. Friends, these words will judge you in the last day, because Jesus said, My word will judge you in the last day. So we should listen very carefully to what happens and to know what we need to do in order to be saved. But here's the thing. Barabbas was definitely a sinner, and Barabbas didn't have any hope of getting out of that prison. He was the last one that would ever come out of that jail. But Jesus took his place. He took his place. And because Jesus took his place, the just for the unjust, Barabbas walked out of that jail. I can imagine when that fellow came out, what in the world just happened? How did I get here? Now, I'm not saying what Barabbas did or didn't as a result of that. We have no knowledge whether he ever, you know, sometimes I wonder, did he realize what Jesus had done for him? Did he trust him as his own Savior? Perhaps he did. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But one thing for sure, Jesus took his place. He was the one that should have died that day. But Jesus died in his place. You see, that's what God has done for you. You may not know it, but your sin will surely bring you into judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it says, It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death comes the judgment. Once to die, and then the judgment. Don't be fooled by the idea of reincarnation. You're not going to die 75 times. Once to die, and then the judgment. And if that's the case, and you're going to face Almighty God in every sin you've ever committed, you're going to have to give an account to Him, you should tremble now. And you should call on the name of the Lord now. And you should cry out to Jesus, because He will take your place. So that on the day of judgment, when you stand before Him, God says, I don't see any sin. And the reason why I don't see any sin, because it all fell on Jesus. I can't punish you for sins, because Jesus has already been punished. The price has already been paid. He's taken your place. He stepped up to the plate on your part. He's taken it all, and you go free. Can you imagine? Can you imagine to stand on the day of judgment and not have to be punished for any of the sins you've ever committed? That's what Jesus Christ has done. Not that it gives you a ticket to go out and murder people and go to heaven, okay? If you think that, then you haven't turned to Jesus. Because when you turn to Him, He changes your heart. He definitely does. Quickly, I'm going to look at another story in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, when Moses was called to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, great plagues happened to Egypt. And the last plague was a plague of judgment that was to fall, that the firstborn son of every house was going to die. And as a result of that, God told Moses, He said, there's a death angel going to pass over all the land of Egypt. And if anybody in any house, of the firstborn of every household will die as because of this judgment. But there's a way out of that. God always makes a way out. Some people think that God is a God of hellfire and judgment. He is a God of judgment, and there is hellfire. But the Bible says it was made for the devil and his demons. It wasn't made for people. But if you want to follow the devil, you'll follow him straight into hell. But you don't have to follow him into hell. What you need to do is to turn to him. And so Moses, God told Moses, here's the way out of this. Here's what you need to do. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man will take to himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb will be without blemish. That means a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb. A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or the goats. And you'll keep it till the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will kill it at twilight. That's one for each house. And you'll take some of the blood from that lamb and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. So you put it on the door, on the doorposts and on top of the lintel. And then you eat the whole lamb. And you do it with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Every year after that, the Jews celebrated a Passover. Every year after that, supposed to anyway, sometimes they didn't, but they celebrated the fact that Jesus Christ, that God rescued them from judgment by having this lamb slain and the blood put on the doorpost. Now, when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified at the time when they celebrated the Passover. And the New Testament teaches us that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He's the Passover lamb. What did John the Baptist say about Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so there will be a judgment again. Not the judgment where the death angel passed over the land of Egypt, but a judgment that falls upon all of us at death, then judgment. But who can be rescued from that judgment? Those who have the blood of the Lamb applied to their life, not to the doorposts of a house, but to the very soul of the individual that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and takes him in as their Lord and Savior. Even as they ate that lamb in the Old Testament, so by faith I take him in as my Lord and Savior. His blood was shed and I take it upon my life. His body was broken and I take him in as my Lord and my Savior. And now I go free. The lamb took the firstborn son in the household. The lamb took his place. Isn't that what happened? Jesus has taken your place. He took your place. He took your place at Calvary. What an offer God has given to us. He says, I'll take your sin and I'll give you myself. I'll take it all. This is what God has done. And he's done it for sinners like us. And it's an amazing truth, friends. It's amazing. It transforms lives. It makes people new on the inside. Oh, to know for certain that your sins are paid for and forgiven by Jesus Christ tonight. Because he was crucified in your place. Because he paid that price. You know, the Bible says that you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Paying with blood, his payment indeed. That's a sacrifice. It's a supreme sacrifice. No greater love has a man that he would lay down his life for his friends. And yet the Bible says, while we were his enemies, he died for us. While we weren't wanting to be the friend of God at all, he still loved us and came and took our place. He took your place. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so what needs to happen in every life is that they're willing to say, Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner. I'm the guilty one. I take your blood as a sacrifice for me. I take that you broke your body on the cross for me. And then salvation is mine.